Blog Talk Radio.
And if you call right now.
Now that the American League from the New York Yankees, the shortstop number 2, Derek Jeter.
Some of you might be puzzled as to why I would start the show out that way, but how could you do any segment on shortstops, even fantasy baseball shortstops, and not at least acknowledge Derek Jeter, the legend who retired last season, definitely one of the greatest shortstops of all time. He was fantasy baseball relevant for several years. He did tail off mightily for the past few years from a fantasy standpoint, but what made him special, among so many things, was how he played the game, how he carried himself on and off the field, the presence, the leadership qualities that he brought into the Yankee clubhouse, the way he handled the media, and hey, supposedly he gave parting gifts to his female conquests the morning after. How great is that, right? Derek Jeter, the living legend! Joe Galina, salute you. And now it's time to take our in-depth look at the aforementioned shortstop position, which in my opinion is too short on talent, but we're going to find some value for you. It's just a fantasy sports show starts right now! Sorry we're a little late with the latest episode of our podcast, but the living legend was on secret assignment on the beaches of the Bahamas. Nothing like being exposed to summer-like weather to get your juices flowing so that you can really dig in and talk about fantasy baseball. I know many of you are probably digging out from under a ton of snow from the blizzard of 2015, better known as Juneau. Nothing like having a captive audience, I guess, right? I hope you're safe and sound and indoors with lots of food, your favorite beverages, and you're starting to think about the dog days of summer. But so what'd you think about our second base rankings from last week? Don Fusillo from Parts Unknown inboxed me and thought that the D. Gordon ranking that I gave, second baseman for the Marlins, he got there via trade from the L.A. Dodgers. He feels he should have been ranked higher on my last podcast where we focused in on second baseman. He said that in a 12-team league, he was the third second baseman taken off the board in the third round overall. Yeah, that's what I say. I mean, I stick by my decision. D. Gordon, I rank him 10th among second basemen. He's a one-trick pony. Well, okay, let me change that. Maybe a two-trick pony. Stolen bases, run scored. His numbers are going to go down a bit. I mean, he has a history of inconsistency in his young career. I see him batting about 275, 280, down from the 289 from last season, maybe stealing 50 bases this year, down from 64 last year. Runs scored should stay about the same, but unless you're playing a roto league and you need a speedster for your stolen base category, I think that there are better choices out there at second base. Hey, Donald, don't expect the living legend to just follow the opinions of other so-called experts and the bozos who are in your fantasy baseball league, okay? I mean, drafting Gordon in the third round is a joke. It's downright funny.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you?
No, you don't amuse me. And, hey, wait a minute. It looks like they're about to introduce your fantasy baseball league's commissioner right now.
Introducing Bozo, the world's most famous clown.
Bozo, Bozo, always laughs, never frowns. Bozo, Bozo, Bozo.
Look at that. He's world famous and he has his own theme song. That's very impressive. Hey, Don, isn't it very early for a draft anyway? Are you sure you're not talking about maybe a mock draft? Maybe you followed my tip from the first week's fantasy baseball draft tip and started doing some mock drafts. If you did, that's really good. Thanks, Don. Keep listening and make sure that the guys and gals in your fantasy league listen into the show as well. It sure sounds like they need as much help as they can get. All right, it's time for the living legend to calm down and take you back to school.
Teach your children well.
Okay, as we've been doing every week, it is time for the Living Legends Fantasy Baseball Draft Tip of the Week. And just to recap, I wanted you to start doing mock drafts. That was my first fantasy baseball draft tip a couple weeks ago. And my second tip from last week's show was to try to target hitters who over the past 3 years have a 280 batting average, or maybe you should shoot at least for players who have a 270, 3 year batting average, because sometimes 280 is a little tougher to find, especially now that offense has been down the past couple of years. So if you're not following the tip of the week,
what have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectfully?
Well, that being said, it's time for this week. Our new tip is I want you to start familiarizing yourself with the players who are either notorious slow starters and those who have a tendency to break out of the gate quickly and really tail off at the end of the season. I mean, a real good example of a slow starter is Philadelphia pitcher Cole Hamels, who began last season ice cold and has had a long history of doing so across his career. Last season, he had a 6.75 ERA in the month of April, and you probably could have traded for him in your fantasy league for a bag of Belichick's deflated balls. I mean, by the other season, Hamels was sitting pretty with a stellar 2.46 ERA. For his career, he has a 3.55 first half ERA, which is pretty good. But hey, in the second half, he has a 2.93 career ERA. On the other half of the spectrum, Angels starter Jared Weaver has a career 2.98 first half ERA and a 3.63 lifetime second half ERA. I mean, he's the kind of guy that, you know, you hold on to him, and you, let's say around June, you might want to trade him away after you've squeezed every last bit of value from him. FYI, Weaver reportedly has bulked up this offseason. He's trying to avoid his annual second-half plunge. Hopefully he worked out and added some muscle and didn't gain weight just by eating Twinkies, right? Identifying these type of players is going to take a bit of work, but you need every advantage that you can get if you're going to compete for a fantasy baseball championship this season. Okay, we've got a lot of work to do. We're going to talk about 24 shortstops. So let's get started. Let's analyze the shortstop position. Three out of the first four shortstops on our list today have chronic injury problems, right? They just can't seem to stay healthy. When you look at the shortstop position as a whole, it's littered with question marks all over the place. After the walking wounded, you either have some young guys who haven't proven themselves yet and other guys who are veterans that are trying to jumpstart their careers and put up the kind of stats that we were accustomed to seeing from them a few years back. Okay, so like the past couple of weeks, you know I like to rank or group together our players as platinum, gold, silver, and bronze. And man, I toyed around with the idea of just skipping the whole platinum category totally. But instead, I decided to not follow the so-called experts. Right, Don Fusillo? I wasn't going to follow them like a mouse following the Pied Piper. And I broke down and chose Ian Desmond as the best fantasy shortstop in baseball. Look, there are a lot of question marks surrounding the shortstop position. But other than his batting average, Ian Desmond has been one of the most consistent fantasy shortstops over the past couple of years. How consistent? How about three straight years of 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases? Unfortunately, he's also been a notorious slow starter with a 258 lifetime pre-All-Star break batting average. And then after the All-Star break for his career, he bats 285. This circles back to our tip of the week about keeping an eye out for players who are either prone to slow starts or guys that get off to quick starts. If Desmond gets off to another anemic first half, you might find a frustrated fantasy owner who trades him away out of disgust and trades him for less than his true value. Desmond's an especially intriguing player this year because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. And as we all know, many times when a player is aiming for a big new shiny contract, they may produce above and beyond what you would normally expect from them. Admittedly, the living legend is concerned about his rising swinging strike rate and the fact that he's making contact with the ball at a lower percentage than earlier in his career. But what makes him my first pick overall is his durability. I mean, do you want a guy that will put up incredible numbers for 60% of the season, or a guy like Desmond who will put up very good numbers across an entire 162-game season? You didn't have to answer that. To tell you the truth, I don't even hear what you're saying. But look for Desmond to be a middle to late second-round draft pick, and there's a good chance that despite the living legend's advice, he may not be the first shortstop to come off the board in your fantasy league's draft. Troy Tulowitzki probably will. And he rounds out our Platinum Fantasy Shortstop category. I mean, you can't argue with this guy's talent. When he's healthy, he is by far the best shortstop. I mean, if he gets close to 600 at-bats, and if he remains in Colorado with the Rockies, he's going to give you 30 home runs. He's a 300 hitter. He'll drive in runs, score runs. But since 2010, he has had only one season where he's been healthy enough to come to bat more than 529 times. Last season, he had just 315 at-bats. So health and durability are definitely an issue with this guy. Again, across a full season, expecting to bat at least 300, hit 30 home runs, drive in 90-plus runs, and score another 80 runs. But, you know, the Living Legends Platinum category is sacred and reserved for can't-miss guys. I mean, do you use your first-round pick or your second pick overall on a player that has shown that he's likely to miss a month of the season? To me, Desmond is more of a sure thing. But admittedly, if Tulo stays healthy all season, his numbers might be better than Desmond's. It's a true gamble, and drafting Tulo is not for the faint of heart. I mean, I have to keep him in the Platinum category because of his potential, but I rank him behind Desmond. And as we round out the Platinum position, it is my pleasure to present Ian Desmond as the Living Legends number one Platinum Fantasy Baseball shortstop. And like fellow Platinum players and winners like Arizona first baseman Paul Goldschmidt and Seattle second baseman Robinson Cano, Ian Desmond, you win nothing. And we continue our evaluation of the shortstop position, but now we move on to the gold! That's right, we move quickly to the gold caliber fantasy shortstops. Ramirez is another guy with tremendous talent who has a hard time staying healthy. With a 300 batting average across a 10-year career, he has the potential to help your team in just about every offensive category. Across a full season, he has the potential to club 20 home runs, steal 20 bases. He can score 80-plus runs, drive in another 80. But since he has played in less than 128 games in three out of the last four seasons, projecting his statistics across a full season is being very optimistic. If you've got the stomach for it, draft him. Get ready to pick him up anywhere from the second to fourth round. By the way, he should have dual eligibility by the end of the season since he's expected to be a big part of the Boston Red Sox outfield this season. Another talented but often injured shortstop who I cautiously present as the fourth best fantasy shortstop is Jose Reyes. Surprisingly, he came to bat 610 times last season and did what he will always do when healthy and able to play a full season, and that is bat 290, hit 10 home runs, score 90 runs, steal 30-plus bases. Leading off for the powerful Blue Jay lineup is going to assure that if his hamstrings don't hurt, he's again going to score a bunch of runs. Again, buyer beware over here. He is likely to spend some time on the DL. Will it be just 16 games like last season? Or is he going to struggle to make 400 plate appearances? It's just a crapshoot. Alexei Ramirez barely squeaks into the gold category for fantasy shortstops. Like Ian Desmond, I like his durability and consistency. You know what you're going to get. A 270 average, 10 to 15 home runs, 20 steals, 60 RBIs or so. His home run total did spike a bit last season, but based on his average fly ball distance rate, he should revert back closer to a guy who will hit closer to 10 home runs and probably will never come close to his career high of 21 home runs ever again. I admit his projected numbers seem pretty bland, but remember the fantasy shortstop position is pretty weak. And what I like about him is that he's going to give you a full season without spending too much time on the disabled list. Moving on to our silver category and leading us off in that category, Starlin Castro, the Chicago Cubs shortstop, 24-year-old. He's still developing, but he took a big step forward after he rebounded from a year-long sophomore slump. His average fly ball distance rate has gradually crept up from 275 feet in 2012 to 280 feet in 2013, and it crept up a little bit to 282 feet in 2014. So it's going in the right directions. And after hitting 14 home runs in two out of the last three seasons, it looks like he could eventually emerge as an 18 to homer kind of guy, 15 steals probably for you. And hopefully he could keep that average up. And it looks like he's going to end up being a 280 hitter for you. He missed some time last season, but overall has proved to be pretty durable through his first three seasons. He walked more, he struck out less, he hit more line drives. And line drives, remember, they tend to fall in for hits more often, and did that at the highest rate of his young career last year. So I look for him to have a solid 2015 season. Moving on to our seventh best fantasy baseball shortstop, Johnny Peralta. Now, after the 50-game suspension for his connection to Biogenesis and PED use, a lot of people were telling Peralta that
it's over, Johnny. It's over.
But with a solid 2014 campaign, he answered his detractors by vehemently exclaiming,
"Nothing is over! Nothing!"
In most leagues, Peralta wasn't even drafted last season. And although the living legend looks down on people who take shortcuts when it comes to their physical fitness, I've ranked him pretty high amongst his fellow fantasy shortstops. I mean, with his 263 batting average, 21 home runs, 75 RBI, and 61 runs scored last season, he put together what you would expect out of him, right? The typical Peralta type of season. I expect him to put up similar numbers in 2015. And Johnny, it may not be over, but I hope you've learned your lesson. Now on to J.J. Hardy, who suffered an inexplicable power outage last season, slugging just 9 home runs after averaging 21 home runs a season. But based on his average fly ball distance rate, which took a small dip in 2014, it's probable that Hardy will be shouting as he slugs 15-plus home runs this season. He hardly ever gets hurt, and he's a lock for a 265 batting average. Remember, the overall Major League batting average last season was just 251. One thing to watch out for is that throughout his career, he has been one of those players who were able to turn it on in the second half. He's a lifetime 252 hitter in the first half and a 272 hitter lifetime after the All-Star break. He didn't hit his first home run of the season, by the way, until late June of last season. And then after that, he upped his home run hitting pace closer to his career average. He'll be there for you late in your draft, but even if you miss out on him, you might want to trade for him for his annual late season run. Now, a lot of fantasy players were excited about Jimmy Rollins' 2014 statistics from last season. And yes, 17 home runs, 28 steals. They're nice stats for a shortstop. But let's face it, Rollins is a player in decline. Since his 2010 season, his strikeout percentage has more than doubled. I mean, it was 16.4% last season. And that is tied with his career high. That has caused him to make less contact with the ball. He's hitting fewer line drives. It's going to be interesting to see how he fares with the Dodgers. Maybe the warm California sun rejuvenates him a bit, but I wouldn't expect more than a 250 batting average with 15 home runs and 25 steals from him this season. Not terrible, but way off from his peak year numbers. Eric Abar rounds out our Silva category, and with the Angels, he should enjoy a nice year scoring his typical 75 runs. He's got speed. He can steal 15 to 20 bases for you. What keeps him in the Silva category for me is his consistency surrounding his batting average. He should hit somewhere around 275 next season, and that takes us to Texas Ranger Elvis Andrus, who is at the top of our bronze category. Unfortunately, his batting average has fallen in each of the last 3 years, from a high of 286 in 2012 to a low of 263 in 2014. An important side note is that in 2012, his batting average with balls in play was 332. Since then, he has never approached that number again. So that 1 year with a high BABIP tells me that 2012, he was hitting more into luck, right? And that was more of an aberration, and that he's more of a guy who's going to bat 265 to 270 for you. So scoring 70, 80 runs is typical for him. He's going to steal 25 to 30 bases. The one concern is that he got caught stealing 15 times last season for a guy who's going to be a major contributor to your fantasy team in the stolen base category, that is a concern. And there were also concerns that some of Andrus's decline last season was due to the fact that he was a bit heavier than he should have been. But reports indicate that he has since limited his intake of Dunkin' Donuts and has been spotted eating more salads. And supposedly he's in better shape coming into the 2015 season. Sleeper alert! The next three guys are potential sleepers, and we all love sleepers, don't we? Arizona's Chris Owings, he's just 23 years old and has the potential to be a double-digit steals and home run guy. Arizona obviously believes in him since they felt confident enough in his abilities to let Didi Gregorius go. I mean, if he could cut down on his strikeouts and could take into account his above-average line drive rate, he could be a very valuable late-round draft pick. 24-year-old Milwaukee Brewer Gene Segura is another guy who could emerge as a sleeper, expecting to be drafted a little earlier than Owings. His numbers were way down from his 2013 line when he batted 294. He smacked 12 home runs, stole 44 bases. But last season, he batted just 246 with 5 home runs and only 20 steals. His average fly ball distance dropped to 265 feet in 2014. That's a significant decline from his 292 feet average from 2013. Maybe he should eat his Wheaties. I don't know. His 275 BABIP might explain his lower batting average. Maybe he hit into some bad luck, but it's going to be interesting to see if Segura could find his home run swing again. But keep in mind, if he does, he's going to be very valuable for where you draft him. Xander Bogaerts, Boston Red Sox, after his success in the 2013 playoffs, expectations were high for him. But he had a subpar year in 2014, batting just .240 with 12 homers, 46 RBI. Like so many young players, he has to lower his strikeouts and learn to take a pitch. I mean, he definitely has the potential to emerge as a 20-home run guy, and he should be drafted anywhere from within the 14th to 16th rounds of your typical 12-team fantasy baseball draft. Kansas City. Shortstop Alcides Escobar. His batting average has been a bit consistent over the years, but he is a speedster who could be counted on for 25 stolen bases, and his stolen base totals would be well over 30 if he just learned to take a walk once in a while. For the most part, just a one-trick pony, a speedster who could occasionally help you in the batting average department, maybe even score some runs for you. Pittsburgh Pirate Jordy Mercer reached a career high in home runs last season with 12. Might be worth a look in very deep leagues, but watch out for Young Ho Kang, the power-hitting South Korean free agent that the Bucks signed in the offseason. It's going to be interesting to see how Kang fares and how much playing time he takes away from Mercer. That's a situation that you should watch closely in spring training. And what is up with the Atlanta Braves shortstop, Angelton Simmons? Two straight seasons of sub-250 batting averages. I know he had low batting average with balls in play as well. And maybe he hit into a bit of bad luck, but bad luck for two straight years? What is he, Charlie Brown?
Good grief!
I mean, even old Chuck never had this much bad luck on a baseball field. The good news is that he makes contact with the ball. He has a low swinging strike rate, and that means that there's some room for some upside for this 25-year-old. San Francisco Giant, easy for me to say, Brandon Crawford had his best offensive year last season. He was very streaky but ended the year strong and had career highs in home runs with 10 and RBIs with 69. I wrote about him as a good pickup in an article published on rotoballer.com late last season. He's a good late-season pickup since over the course of his career, he has a .270 batting average in the months of September and October. And last season, after batting below .200 for the months of July and August, he batted .365 during the last 2 months of the season. So he might not even get drafted into your league this season, but keep an eye out for him as a late-season add. Minnesota Twin youngster Danny Santana, intriguing player, 24 years of age. He's eligible at second base, shortstop, and center field. But we're talking about him in the shortstop category. He burst onto the scene in May of last year, and his overall numbers were very good at .319 batting average, 7 home runs, 70 runs scored. Hitting from the leadoff spot, he stole 20 bases. And what I like about him is that 26% of his balls in play were line drives. And line drives, like I said, have a high rate of falling in for base hits. What I don't like is the fact that he didn't walk enough, especially for a leadoff guy. His walk percentage was 4.4, and the league average is 8%. And he struck out way too much, 22% of the time, and that has been an Achilles heel during his entire career, even in the minor leagues. Also, don't get fooled by that .319 batting average, since his .405 BABIP, again, batting average in play with batting average with balls in play, is unsustainable. And if he can do a better job of limiting his strikeouts, he could eventually become a 15 home run, 25 steal guy, and with his multi-position eligibility, he could be very valuable. He's going to be available in the later rounds of your draft, 15th round or later probably. And then you have some young guys who have talent but just haven't been able to put it together yet. We'll watch them as spring training starts to see if it looks like they may be worthy sleeper picks. Guys like 25-year-old Cleveland Indian speedster Jose Ramirez, 25-year-old Brad Miller, who has some pop and can steal 5 to 10 bases for the Mariners, another power-hitting youngster like the Astros' Jonathan Villar, and hey, can 24-year-old Yankee shortstop Didi Gregorius have a decent year for the Bronx Bombers? I mean, would you want to be the guy who has to follow, notice I say follow, not replace, the legendary Derek Jeter? Staying in New York, can 23-year-old Met shortstop Wilmer Flores, who is a good contact hitter with some power, have a bit of a breakout? And of course, I spoke about Sterling Castro from the Cubs, but the Cubbies have plenty of infield shortstop eligible talent like Javier Baez or Baez and Addison Russell. I just can't wait for spring training camps to open up. This way we could see some of these guys in action. These shows where we rank the best and worst at each position, we're going to tweak our lists in the coming weeks. Like I said, as spring training starts, but you have to admit, we just analyzed the heck out of the shortstop position, so much so that I can't even speak anymore. Like I said, it's a weak position, so I felt we needed to dissect a lot of players so that you start to think about the different draft strategies that's going to help you get the most out of your fantasy baseball shortstop. Well, thanks for your time. That's going to slam the lid on things for today. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Galina. That's at JoeGallina. Let me know what you think of the show, especially if you hate it. Visit rotoballer.com. We've got some great fantasy content, baseball, hockey, basketball, football. We have a lot of baseball articles gearing up, and we've got it all. OrganicVibrations.com sponsors this week's show. Check out their website. Like them on Facebook. OrganicVibrations.com. If you like pure and organic foods and products, you need to visit OrganicVibrations.com. The next podcast, which I hope to have up this coming weekend, is going to focus on fantasy baseball's third baseman. Oh, yeah, I would like to thank our guest this week. Thanks to Vito Corleone, Joe Pesci, Bozo the Clown, Yukon Cornelius, Lucy Van Pelt, Lord, He-Man, Rambo, Colonel Troutman, the Thompson Twins. I hope I didn't miss any of our guests. I have Hollywood agencies contacting me all the time. Everyone who is anyone wants a chance to be featured on the hottest podcast in the world. But hey, I would especially like to thank you for listening. Until next time, this is the Living Legend, Joe Galina. Remember to keep moving straight ahead, and all of your fantasies will become realities.
Oh, we are the boys of chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.